From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Ali Dar and Affirm battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner, Barnett Bird, closing a late gap, but it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And I want to welcome all of you tuned in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and all of you listening to us digitally at horseracingradio.net. A bit of a frigid start to this Saturday morning, here in the Bluegrass anyway, and across the state of Kentucky, but it is like that for so many of you who are tuned in. So I'm hoping to warm you up over the course of the next 2 hours, and I hope this little thought does it. 77 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and just 12 seconds until the first Saturday in May, and the Run for the Roses, of course, will be there, is your exclusive radio home in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. Can't wait to get to Churchill Downs. Believe me, that time will fly by. It will be here before we know it. And for the horses that are looking to get into the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires, that time, it may not even be enough. It may not be enough. It may seem like it's enough, but once you start getting closer and the pressure builds, you're probably going to be wishing that you had a little bit more time to get your horse ready. But we'll see how it all plays out. Today marks the start of the Kentucky Derby Championship Series, and the stakes begin to get a little bit higher with some increased point totals in many of the Derby preps from here on out. The Risen Star Stakes at the fairgrounds this afternoon was so popular, they had to split it into two divisions. The first division, 11 horses. Mark Cassie trains Enforceable, who is the 7-2 morning line favorite in that race under jockey Julian Leperoux, winner of the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes at Fairgrounds on January 18th. We'll see if Enforceable can continue his momentum on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And then in the second division, slightly bigger field, 12 horses were entered. Onador is the big story there. 9-5 on the morning line for trainer Blaine Wright and jockey Joel Rosario. Runner-up in both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Losail Futurity to round out his two-year-old campaign. We'll see Onador and see if he can kick things off in the right fashion here this afternoon. Those two races, by the way, are going to be run as races 12 and 13, respectively. The post times 6:38 Eastern and 7:12 Eastern for both of those races today at the fairgrounds. Both of the divisions are going to award the winner 50 points toward a spot in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. If you look at that card today at the fairgrounds, by the way, 13 races, 7 stakes races, 5 of those are graded, including the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra for the 3-year-old fillies. That race is interesting because it marks the 3-year-old debut of last year's 2-year-old champion filly, British Idiom, for trainer Brad Cox. Brad also will send out Mr. Monomoy in the first division of the Risen Star. He'll have Factor This in the Grade 3 Fairground Stakes and Blended Citizen in the Grade 3 Mineshaft. So it's a very busy day for Brad Cox, which makes me even more grateful that he has time to join me this morning. He'll be with me 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about all those big races. Don't forget, he also trains the brilliant undefeated 3-year-old filly Taraz, who won the Martha Washington at Oaklawn a couple weeks back, and there is still plenty of talk of her taking on the boys at some point, maybe the Arkansas Derby, to see if she can get enough points to run against the boys in the Kentucky Derby. But the plan with her is to get enough points to get into the starting gate for the Kentucky Oaks, lock that position in, and then if they decide to, at the last minute, they can take a shot against the boys in the Arkansas Derby. There's two other Derby points races on the docket this weekend. You have the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate. 11 horses there. Azul Coast is the 2-1 morning line favorite. Bob Baffert, Rafael Bejarano, the team. Usually you would say, well, geez, that's a slam dunk. Bob Baffert, a race at Golden Gate, the El Camino Real, has to be a mortal lock. If you look at the history of that race, though, and Bob's history, that's not the case. He's looking for his first win in the El Camino Real since, get this, Cavenier in 1996. So that race has not been as kind as other Derby prep races to Bob over the years. We'll see if he can pull it off, though, with Azul Coast later today. On Monday, you have the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn, that being run on President's Day. That's the traditional spot for that race. Both of those races will be offering 10 Derby points to the winner. You also have a big day today up at Laurel. Huge card. 5 stakes races, including a pair of grade threes, the Barbara Fritchie and the General George. Both of those will be run at 7 furlongs on the main track. The focus of this show, though, is going to be on one of the stakes races prior to those two, the Miraclewood, for the 3-year-old boys. A field of 9. And that race not always regarded as a major Derby prep. More of a prep for the Preakness. You'll see a horse come out of there, move on, and head toward the Preakness Stakes. But we'll see if anybody comes out of that and points for the Derby this year. But the cool story here is Dreams Untold, who is the 5-2 morning line favorite in the Miraclewood. John Service and champion jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. will team up. Now, Dreams Untold is the son of Service's 2004 Kentucky Derby hero, Smarty Jones. So you have that tie-in. You also have John's son, Tyler, who is now training, and he's going to try and win a stakes race on that same card at Laurel today, prior to the Miraclewood. He'll send out Sunday in the Wide Country Stakes. So we'll talk to John about that. He's going to be with me at 9:40 Eastern in the second half of the program. We'll talk to him about all of that. We'll see if Dreams Untold is a horse that is going to point for the Kentucky Derby if he gets by this race today, or maybe wait and point for the Preakness. But again, that interview coming up at 9:40. Last Saturday, Sol Volante, the son of Gainesway stallion Cara Conti, stormed home from off the pace to run down previously undefeated Independence Hall in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis at Tampa. Sol Volante is trained by Patrick Biancone. Andy Biancone, his daughter, works with her father. She joined me about a month ago on our Trainer Talk program. And we had so much fun on that show. That one-hour visit, by the way, is posted on our website if you want to go back and listen. We had so much fun that I invited Andy back on the program today to talk about Sol Volante and that win in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis last weekend. She will do that at 8:35 Eastern. You're also going to hear a couple sound bites from trainer Mike Trombetta, who was my guest on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday night, talking about Independence Hall. He'll share his thoughts on that 3-year-old debut and what he thinks Independence Hall needs to do now moving forward. Eric Campbellback, the CEO of the National HBPA, is going to be with me in the second half of the show as well, 9:20 Eastern. He's going to talk about the upcoming annual conference taking place March 24th to the 27th in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, comes up in the first half of the show, and then Calling All 3-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift. But when I come back, this is the weekend that traditionally kicks off the breeding season here in the state of Kentucky and across many parts of the country. Valentine's Day weekend, Valentine's Day, that's about usually when the breeding sheds will open up. And Kent Barnes is the stallion manager at Shadwell, and you talk about a rock-solid stallion roster. Kurban, Mohaman, Tamar Kuz, going to talk about all three of those horses with Kent coming up after our first break here in just about 5 minutes or so. Poll question for today. I thought, you know, thinking about Valentine's Day yesterday, and I kind of wish we had this show yesterday. I know Red Brand Radio was on, but I thought, what's a cool poll question to tie in to Valentine's Day weekend, looking at it that way? And how about this? Love is in the air, right? You have the breeding sheds opening. So we'll do it this way. Go to @HRN on Twitter to let us know your answer to this question. In honor of Valentine's Day, which horse have you had or do you have the biggest horse crush on? Which horse or horses, could be multiple. I have two. I have two major horse crushes. Both of the horses are dead now. Holy Bull and the Philly Excellent Meeting. Those are my two. If I had to pick a favorite horse, Holy Bull. If I had to pick a favorite filly, Excellent Meeting by 100 miles. It's not even close. As I mentioned, both of those no longer with us, unfortunately. But those are my two big horse crushes. How about for you? Who is the horse or horses you have the biggest horse crush on? Let me know. Go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. I'll try to read some of those answers as we move throughout the show here this morning. Going to get to a break. I'll come back with our Stallion Spotlight segment. Kent Barnes from Shadwell will join me next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mitoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 107 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift. The Breeders' Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Unanimous champion 2-year-old and 3-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to 8 times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Right on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharoah, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Make plans to attend the National HBPA Annual Conference March 24th to the 27th at the Embassy Suites in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The conference begins with a cocktail reception on Tuesday evening and wraps up Friday with an afternoon of racing at Oaklawn Park. In addition to panels and speakers focusing on racing's hottest topics, accomplished jockey and award-winning racing analyst for NBC Sports, Donna Barton Brothers, will deliver the keynote address. Registrations must be made by Monday, February 24th, so don't delay. Make your reservation now. Learn more at hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mohe Man to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohe Man pulls away. and Mo Heyman remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu.
Tamaku's on the outside as charging clear of Gunrunner in the concluding stages. And Tamaku's wins the Dirt Mile by four.
And here's Corban on the outside. Corban and Projected and Corban. Forbes splitting those two, trying to find a seam late. The three of them will hit the wire and then Bernard Baruch, and they were across the track. Corban on the outside.
Albertus Maximus coming in full flight. Rebellion on the outside joins them late. Albertus Maximus, is he going to get there? Rebellion, two steps, Salsa. They hit the wire. Albertus Maximus has won the mile.
What a way to come back to the Equine Forum after that commercial break. The Shadwell Stallions, yeah, they're pretty good if you can't tell. Going to talk to Kent Barnes from Shadwell here in just a moment. Right after, I remind you that if you miss any portion of the show, just head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can listen at your leisure. You can also do that via Apple Podcasts. This Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. And so you just heard a few highlights. Those are just scratching the surface when you talk about the Stallions at Shadwell, and nobody knows them better than Kent Barnes. And he has seen an awful lot of good Stallions come through Shadwell. He's getting ready to begin, how about this, his 30th breeding season as the Stallion manager at Shadwell. He started in 1991, and quite an honor to have him in studio with me here this morning. Kent, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Yeah, it is chilly out here today. I just assumed when you called me this week to come in on the program that we were flying down to Barbados, so I was a little disappointed we're still stuck in Lexington. But
yeah, I'm hoping to be going to Barbados in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to put the pieces together on that.
Yeah, I guess I just had my timing off a little bit, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it was about 19 degrees. At least that's what my car said when I was driving in, but I know there's people in Minnesota and North Dakota and places like that, they're dealing with much colder now. How about you think back 30 years of being the Stallion manager here at Shadwell and being part of that team? When you walked in there 30 years ago, what do you remember about the first day?
It was basically my first day in Kentucky. You know, came down from Colorado, born and raised out there, and I've always, you know, got the blood horse and seen the pictures, but I was just overwhelmed just coming through those gates at Shadwell, seeing the beautiful landscaping, the architecture, the barns, and then, you know, the very first horse that I got my hands on, you know, day one was Dejure, who was champion sprinter in Europe, horse of the year over there. Just, you talked about horse crushes. He's probably my number one horse crush. He was just a outstanding horse to work with for his entire career. He just never did anything wrong. Easy to handle, excellent fertility, did his job in the breeding shed. And so he was just the first of many. We had a lot of nice ones through the years over there, and it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it.
Did you ever see yourself being in this position and still doing this job 30 years later at the same farm?
Never really thought about it, no. Yeah, you know, I was essentially a kid, I guess, not too far out of college when I came down, and it was kind of a dream come true, and learned a lot over the years, and never really thought about how long I would be there, and it's gone by fast because it's been a fun job. You know, anytime you can wake up and look out your window and see the horses that I do and the farm that I live on, it doesn't feel like work at all.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to go in the morning and see those horses and watch their offspring, watch the races in the afternoon, and see the ones that you bred over the years compete.
What's the best part about being part of that Shadwell team?
It's just a great team. The boss, the owner, is just outstanding gentleman. Sheikh Hamdan has been the best employer I think anybody could ask for. He really takes care of his employees. We've got the best benefits I can imagine of any corporation in the world, you know, and he's loyal to us. We're loyal to him. And, I've been there, 29 years working on my 30th year, and I'm still one of the young guy, one of the new managers on the farm. So
that's always nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking with Kent Barnes, the Stallion manager at Shadwell. We're going to talk about the current roster here for 2020 in a minute, but you mentioned Dejure. Are there other, I'm sure there are. Are there other horses that have stood out to you over the years that, for whatever reason, you're never going to forget?
One of them in particular, Swain. He's still on the farm. In fact, he just turned 28 this week.
Wow.
And
28.
Yeah.
Where did that time go?
I know. I can't believe it. It just seemed like yesterday he was running over the photographers on the rail at Churchill. But he's up in the pensioner barn, and he looks great. In fact, I snapped a picture of him the other day. We put it on Twitter, and I think we had more likes of that than about anything else we put on there. So he's one that I've got a big fondness for. His sire, of course, was Nashwan, who our stallion facility is named after. And Nashwan was born and raised on the farm just prior to my arrival there. So I was never around Nashwan. So when Swain came, it was a kind of a nice full circle to get him back. Another one, I think, is Invasor. Because, Invasor was just a monster on the track. You know, unbeatable, essentially. Horse of the year here. He was Horse of the Year in South America as well. And he's Shadwell's all-time leading money earner. At the time he retired, I believe he was fourth on the all-time money earning list. And that, of course, is before the Pegasus and these big boosts. But he was another one that was a really fun horse to work around, easy horse, very kind and gentle. And he's currently back in Uruguay covering mares down there during the southern season, but he will eventually retire and return to Kentucky, and he'll go back up. He'll go in the barn up there with Swain.
When I think about Invasor, I think was it the Don handicap where he clipped heels at the top of the stretch, almost fell, right?
Yes.
Basically went to his knees, recovered, and then drew off. And I remember Larry Colmus was calling the race, and his call was, "How good is Invasor?" And for whatever reason, that is the moment that I remember when I think about Invasor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can look at it, his biggest races, his biggest wins, the Classic and the Dubai World Cup. But truly, if you go back and watch his races, that Don handicap showed what a good horse he was, because he really overcame adversity there. And I remember watching it live and thinking, this is it. He's lost it. But he came back, and just jockey Fernando was just completely splattered in mud, head to toe that day too. Yeah. So
before we talk about the stallions, you were a little concerned you might not be able to make it here at this time on a Saturday morning, because with the breeding shed opening, the stallions could be breeding mares this morning. I'm glad it worked out for you, and I'm glad you're sitting here with me in our Lexington studios, Kent. But when you describe your position and your role as a stallion manager, how do you do it? What's your primary focus? What's your main responsibility?
Yeah. The stallion manager positions in Kentucky can kind of vary, mm-hmm. especially now with some of these farms with the huge rosters. Some positions, a stallion manager may be more in charge of just selling seasons and that kind of stuff. Other farms, stallion managers is strictly over the breeding shed and the health of the stallion. We're a fairly small stallion operation, so I guess my position is kind of a do-everything stallion manager. So first and foremost, I am over the breeding shed every day. I'm in every single breeding there, actually on the floor helping the guys in the breeding shed look at the samples, check all the paperwork when the mares come in and that kind of stuff, and do the overall health of the stallions, scheduling vet work, farrier work, and that kind of stuff. But also my position entails marketing the stallions, selling the stallion seasons, meeting with the clients and the breeders to show them the stallions as well.
Yeah, yeah. Kent Barnes with me here in studio. All right, let's talk about this year's roster. Curbon, we'll start there. He's kind of the newcomer to the roster here for 2020. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Curbon is our second son of Spitestown that we've added to the roster in the last few years, and he's a really nice horse. He's probably best known in the U.S. as the two-time winner of the Bernard Baruch up at Saratoga, grade two win. He won the last 2 years up there. He also ran second in the grade one Old Forester on Derby weekend to a horse of the year, Bricks and Mortar, who just caught him at the line there going 9 furlongs. So I think if it had been 8 7/8 or something, I know we would have won it. We were right there, and unfortunately that horse came flying out of the clouds. But Curbon also ran third in 2 grade 1s at Keeneland, both in the Maker's Mark or the Maker's 46 mile in the spring and then the Shadwell mile in the fall last year. But prior to coming to the United States, he was started in France. He won both starts as a two-year-old over there at Chantilly and Deauville, stayed in training at 3 and 4, and won stakes at both 3 and 4 in France. He's a horse that ran every year from 2 to 6. He made 22 starts, so he's a good example of soundness and durability, which, you know, we like to see in our colts. His dam is a granddaughter of Danzig, and she as well was a stakes winner in France as a three-year-old. She was brought over to the United States, and she finished second in the Yellow Ribbon in California. And she's a mare who also made 21 starts. So again, you know, this horse picked up some soundness from his dam side. And he's a real good individual. He's typical of a lot of the Spites towns, a good substance to him. And I think he's going to be a really nice sire and stallion prospect for the future.
How many mares do you think he'll get in his first year?
Well, we're hopeful that we'll get a good book to him. We're standing him very reasonably. Standing for $5,000, which I think is, you know, for what the horse earned in the races.
Yeah, so, that's tremendous value.
Yeah. You know, we're fairly conservative on our book numbers. You know, when I started years ago, we were at the time we were only breeding 50, like today's year, which is be unheard of today. We had over 300 applications that year on the first year for Deja.
Wow.
So now we've opened up the book a little bit more. So, you know, I would hope that we'd get on this horse in the 50 to 70 mare range on him.
Yeah, for his first year, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of times with Chadwell, it's quality over quantity too.
Right.
You're trying to focus on the right mares for the right horse. And Curbon is certainly one that appears extremely talented and can go a lot of different directions on that front. Another one is Mo Heyman. And this is a horse I remember watching run down in Florida when he was just tearing it up and looked like he was just going to roll right on to Kentucky and then ended up being injured, I guess, and didn't make it there. But this is a horse that is ultra, ultra talented.
Yeah, Mo Heyman, he was very exciting for us at the farm. When Kieran had him as a two-year-old, you know, from day one, he was a $2.2 million yearling. And so there was always a lot of high hope for this horse. And a lot of that was, of course, his older brother had just won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile New Year's Day. He was by a Son of Tappet. He's out of a great mare. And, you know, when you're spending $2.2 million for a horse, you know he's got the looks.
Yeah.
And so he put everything together, and he was a great two-year-old for us. Kieran had him up in New York. He won all three of his starts as a two-year-old, including the Remsen and the Nashua. Then he took him to Florida as a three-year-old, and he continued that winning streak in both the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth. At that point, early in the year, he was actually number one on the Kentucky Derby list on most people's.
Yeah, that's right. He was.
Yeah, everybody was talking about him, and it was kind of East Coast versus West Coast. Nyquist was out in California. And
well, that would have been fun to see, right?
Well, yeah, and those two actually hooked up in the Florida Derby. Nyquist came out, and unfortunately that day, Mo Heyman didn't have his game face on, and I know it was very humid that day, and I think the heat zapped him a little bit. But you know, he still had enough earnings, and we kind of threw that out. Came to Kentucky with him, and he ran fourth in the Kentucky Derby. And behind a good group of horses, you know, you've got Nyquist, who, of course, won the race that year, but Gunrunner was there, who later became a horse of the year, and Exaggerator. And Mo Heyman was right up there with those guys, not beaten very far. So we're real excited about him at stud. He's got yearlings now. The weanlings sold very well last year. He had one that brought $145,000, which off of a $7,500 stud fee, you've got to be excited as a breeder. And I think nearly everybody made a pretty good profit on the weanlings they sold last year. And it looks like the yearlings will do well this year. And the way Sons of Tappet are just on fire now. I mean, we're starting to see those guys really take off as leading sires. So we're hopeful that this guy can continue that trend.
And his full brother runs in the Risen Star, right? Grade 3 winner?
Yeah, Enforceable is actually the favorite today. Yeah, and so that's exciting. He's got another full brother named Kingley that Baffert trains out in California that's a stakes winner. Of course, the older brother, New Year's Day, sired the champion 3-year-old this year, Maximum Security. So it's a young, active family with a lot of upside. So he's got everything going for him.
All right, Tamar Coos is the other one I'm going to make sure I talk to you about. Another son of Spitestown. First crop yearlings did extremely well, bringing up to $280,000. Tell me a little bit more about Tamar Coos.
Yeah, so Tamar Coos is the first son of Spitestown that we retired, and 2-year-olds at the track this year are going to the track, and everything I'm hearing about him is very good. I've gotten some pictures from the breakers and trainers, and they're under tack now, going well. We've bred some very nice mares of our own to him. We've sent those off to be broken, and hopefully this will be a horse we can hear a lot about in the future. He's a horse that kind of had a similar career as Curbon. He's a horse that we purchased here in Kentucky and then sent him to Europe to race. And like Curbon, he raced raced in England instead of France, but he won twice as a 2-year-old over there as well. And then he was transferred to the stable in Dubai. And when he went to the dirt, he really kind of excelled down there, which you would expect with his pedigree. He won 4 races down there, 3 stakes races, including the Godolphin Mile on World Cup night. And then we brought him back here as an older horse and handed him over to Kieran McLaughlin. And Kieran does an excellent job with these horses returning from Dubai. He'd proved himself on the dirt down there already, so Kieran kept him on the dirt. He ran second in both the Kelso and the Forgo up in New York. And then he signed off with the victory in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita.
Yeah, pretty good horse. And all 3 of those stallions are available for you at ShadwellFarm.com. You can go learn more by visiting that website, ShadwellFarm.com. Kent Barnes, been a pleasure to have you in studio, my friend. And thanks for taking a little time to swing by. I know it's a busy time for you. Go enjoy the weekend, and I know you'll be busy.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Kent Barnes, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, you'll hear a couple of sound bites from trainer Mike Trombetta talking about Independence Hall, and I'll visit with Andy Biancone to talk about Sam F. Davis winner Sol Volante. But first, it's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is a capsulized story of a man who was born in New York City on April 17, 1876. He graduated from Groton, Harvard, and Harvard Law. He inherited his 2,500-acre farm near Bowie, Maryland, and at first loaned out his stables. As his interest and involvement grew, he began breeding and racing horses in his renowned silks, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He became a prominent banker and sportsman and raced not only with enormous success in this country, but with recognized success in England as well. He bred the vast majority of the horses he raced, most of them at A.B. Hancock's Claiborne Farm near Paris, Kentucky. His own farm in Maryland was devoted mostly to the care of weanlings and as winter quarters for his racing stock. In addition to the success his horses enjoyed on the racetrack, he was equally as well known for the support he steadfastly afforded to measures meant to benefit breeding and racing and to keep the sport on a high plane. In 1935, when he was a guest of the Thoroughbred Club of America in Lexington, Kentucky, he was quoted as saying, quote, "I am very anxious to see the day before I shuffle off this mortal soil when the English will recognize our American studbook in its entirety," end of quote. He raced some of the very best horses in England, thereby showcasing the class of American bloodlines. His primary objective was a victory in the Epsom Derby, a goal he never achieved, sad to relate, but his horse, Prince Simon, was second by a head to Galcador in 1950. His horses won the Kentucky Derby, indeed. Gallant Fox in 1930, Omaha 1935, Johnstown in 1939. Gallant Fox and Omaha both went on to win the Triple Crown. Johnstown barely missed all 3 jewels by running fifth to Chaladon in the Preakness. Among other racing standouts carrying his colors to the winner's circle were Fairno, Apache, Fenelon, Bonnie Beryl, Granville, Gaffaman, and Vagrancy. He was known as a man of utterly remarkable energy and often climbed out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch his horses work out under the eye of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, who trained for him for 30 years. In the world of business, he was the president of New York's Hanover National Bank from 1910 to 1929, and after a merger, chairman of the board of Central Hanover Bank and Trust. His career as a banker had incepted in 1903 after having served 2 years as secretary to the American ambassador in Great Britain. One of the most markedly important contributions to American breeding was his partnership venture with Marshall Field, R.A. Faiburn, and A.B. Hancock, importing the great stallion Sir Galahad III from France in 1925, a stallion who became tremendously influential on and a cornerstone, I might add, of American breeding. This particular man was quoted in 1935 as follows, quote, "I believe in changes if they mean advancement and improvement, but as a sports writer friend of mine complimented me by calling me a gentleman of senile virility, I think I may say that the advancing age of the turf is an asset rather than a liability," end of quote. The man herein being profiled was indeed a man of wisdom, foresight, and unqualified personal integrity, and was a man whose racing colors still burn brightly on the pages of racing history, white, red spots, scarlet cap. He was Mr. William Woodward.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From his second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But there he goes. Ortiz can wait no longer. Independence Hall goes to the lead and doing it on his own. Sol Volante is now charging second. On the outside, no getting over me, is trying to come back third as they turn for home.
Independence Hall, trying to remain undefeated. Ortiz goes to work and he still has the lead, but Sol Valente runs at the leader on the outside. We're down to two. Independence Hall, the whip is out. On the outside, Sol Valente runs by the leader. It's Sol Valente in front and going away. Independence Hall settles for second. Very tight for third. Looks like Ajoui come from absolutely last. Gets up for third. Tis right time was fourth. Running time on the board, 142.60.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That was Richard Grunder with the call of last weekend's Grade 3. Sam F. Davis, Sol Valente, and Luca Panici storming home to get the victory in that one and earn a valuable 10 points toward the Kentucky Derby. And we'll see if he continues that momentum as he makes his way down the road to Louisville. But the horse he defeated, Independence Hall, came into the race undefeated, and his trainer, Mike Trombetta, joined me on Trainer Talk this past week. And I asked Mike, when you look at that race, what do you take away from his performance?
It was a good race. The winner ran extremely well. We were a little vulnerable, I believe, for the fact that we were chasing a hot pace at the time. And you know, probably left us with just a little bit more work to do than we could handle, and subsequently we finished second. The good news for us is that he appears to have come out of the race in good order and on to the next one.
Well, Independence Hall and the eventual winner, Sol Valente, were well clear, about 11 lengths clear of the third-place finisher. They really ran away from the race, and the follow-up question to that, I asked Mike, how do you rate, as a trainer, how do you rate a race that ends up with that kind of finish?
I just rate it as a little bit of an anomaly, so to speak. You generally don't have that much separation in a dirt race in the early stages of it. And it was something different than you would normally see. And I think it's part of racing. I think that's just the stuff that comes with the game that we play. And you know, sometimes it works out really well, and sometimes it doesn't. And for us, not so great. And for the winner, it worked out really good. He was in the right spot at the right time, and he capitalized on it on a day when he was ready to run a big race. And, you know, hats off to him. They were able to get the win.
Well, Independence Hall and his connections are now going to go back to the drawing board and look for answers to see if he can get back on track in his next start. The case for Sol Valente as one of the leading contenders for the Kentucky Derby is now much, much stronger, and nobody knows that better than his assistant trainer, the daughter of trainer Patrick Biancone. That is Andy Biancone, who joins me right now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Andy, you were listening to what Mike Trombetta had to say about Independence Hall and about that race. I know that you can now look at that race and say, hey, we have a legit Derby contender. So how about your thoughts on the performance by Sol Valente?
Wow, honestly, I unfortunately was at Gulfstream running the reject. So I wasn't there. But, I mean, I called my dad as soon as the race was over, and, I mean, no words were exchanged. We were just both sobbing of happiness. Like, and, you know, my dad doesn't cry often, so it was pretty special.
Why was it so emotional for him?
You know, I think just because I literally was there at OBS with him when we picked this horse. And I mean, he came in the ring and he was all washed out and kind of crazy. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And my dad was just immediately like, I love this horse. And look at his page. It's amazing. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean his page is amazing? What? It's really not. He was like, but it is. And so I think just to have the horse come this far has just, you know, been amazing. And just to, you know, I own a piece of him, and, you know, the syndicate is between, like, family friends, and, you know, it's just special.
Yeah, and it makes it even more special that your dad bought this horse for you as somewhat of a birthday gift, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, was it $22,000? Is that what he brought at auction?
Yes. I actually think he brought 20. My dad said if he could get him for 22, he'd be happy.
Wow. 20,000, and now you have yourself a legitimate Kentucky Derby contender. And I don't think many people would argue with that. As you were watching it unfold, and you said you weren't there, but did you get a chance to watch it on TV at least, Andy?
Yes, definitely watched it on TV.
Yeah, so as you're watching it, what was going through your mind as you're watching him make that big move on the turn?
Well, at first, you know, when I feel like they broke really fast in front, and I don't know if the TV screen was just skewed, but it seemed like those horses were way far ahead, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's got a lot of ground to make up. And as soon as, I mean, Luca was just so confident in the way he handled him. I mean, you'd almost think like, oh, he moved a little bit early. Like if he would just, like that was my initial thought when I was watching the race. I was like, oh gosh, hope he didn't move too early. But I mean, Shelly Valente just had his ears pricked and just kept trucking on down just like he does in the morning, 22-minute licks. Like, he does the same exact thing, you know. So the Derby's still a long way away. We don't want to get too excited, and we want to just, you know, he's such a versatile horse. We don't want to just force him to go on the Derby trail if that's, you know, if that's not going to be what's best for him in the long run. We want to see. He obviously has to improve coming off that race, so we're just going to see how he works next, and, yeah.
Have you started shopping for your Derby hat yet?
You know, I honestly am fashionably challenged. I'm terrible at that. I let my friends dress me. I don't deal with that.
Well, I read somewhere that you had said that to your dad. You asked if you could get your Derby hat. Is this true? You asked if you could get your Derby hat, and he said, well, don't get it yet, but you can at least start looking?
Yes.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you this question too, Andy. By the way, talking with Andy Biancone, the assistant trainer with her father, Patrick Biancone. You said Soleil Volante. Is that the proper pronunciation? Soleil?
Yes. Luca's the Italian, and he says Soleil Volante, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, we'll trust Luca Panici. And will Luca, is this his mount now? Is he the guy that will partner with Soleil Volante?
Yes, this is his horse. No one rides this horse like he does. And he's been with him since the beginning. He was the first one to work him, you know, and he comes religiously to, like, work him, 2 minute lick him, whatever. And, you know, the horse loves him. He loves the horse. It's special to see a rider develop that connection with the horse as well.
What's his next race?
It depends. We got to see how he works next. Obviously, he's got to keep improving if we want to get him on that Derby trail. We might go back to Tampa. He seems to like it there.
Yeah, he loves it there, obviously. The Tampa Bay Derby would be a perfect spot,
definitely,
you know, for him in his next start. What is it about this horse, Andy, that really makes him special?
Just to see how far he's come. One of my personal favorite things, why I love training horses, why I do what I do, is because I love seeing horses develop into the athletes they're meant to be. And he has just, the development in him has just been crazy. I mean, even just the way his body's changing and how he's just, he used to be so insecure, and now he's all the confidence in the world. I mean, he walks around like happy as a clam, like not a care in the world. And he's just the sweetest, most genuine horse. He's so smart, and he would literally take a bullet for you. Like, that's how genuine he is. Like, all he wants to do is please. He's one of the sweetest horses in the barn. You could literally park him like in the middle of the road with a shank over his neck, and he'd probably just stand there.
Wow, that's great stuff from Andy Biancone here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Soleil Volante, on the road to the Kentucky Derby after that win in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis last weekend. Andy, listen, want to wish you all the best with this horse and with all of your horses moving forward this season. Keep up the great work and keep it rolling.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, Andy Biancone. If you missed my trainer talk full hour visit with her, it was a lot of fun. And you can go back and listen to it on our website, horseracingradio.net. That interview was done back on January 15th. So go search Andy Biancone on our site, and it'll pull it right up, and you can listen to that full hour interview. Good horse. Son of Cara Conti, who stands out at Gainesway, and Soleil Volante, a horse that you're going to hear from up the road again. I'm pretty sure about that. All right, when I come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. Second half of the show features trainers Brad Cox and John Service, along with Eric Hamelback from the National HBPA. So a lot still to come on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor. Caraconti.
Gainesway Stallion Caraconti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4 fifths, recording a 1:14 buyer speed figure. Caraconti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who is pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Caraconti gets the gold, according to Chris McGrath's value podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Mike Smith has been aboard some brilliant distaffers, and this is one of them. They can't warm her up. She's all Songbird by herself to win by 8.
Well, with today's 79th renewal of the Las Virgenes at Santa Anita, we thought it would be appropriate to flash back to 4 years ago when Medaglia d'Oro's daughter Songbird began her undefeated 3-year-old championship season with that 6.5-length romp in one of the year's early important races for 3-year-old fillies. And the great Songbird is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch and is equaled only by Mr. Prospector as stallions to have sired 7 American Grade 1 winners in a single year. And Songbird is one of 25 Group or Grade 1 winners for her sire. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Top of the stretch. Taraz leads still by that length and a half. Oh, Serafina running her heart out in second, but Taraz cuts the corner and she is still in hand, and now she's in command by 4. Oh, Serafina did her very best, but she's second best to a brilliant undefeated filly named Taraz. Taraz won by 4. Oh, Serafina second. Hyon Jin third. Princessina Julia finished fourth.
Dick Stauffer bringing them home in the Martha Washington at Oaklawn a couple of weeks ago. Taraz remaining undefeated. She's pretty darn good. Maybe a shot against the boys coming up for her as we move closer to the first Saturday in May. Her trainer, Brad Cox, is going to have a busy day today at the fairgrounds, and he's going to join me to talk about Taraz and to talk about all of his contenders to kick off the second half of the show at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. This is the time every week where we bring you our Industry Star of the Week, which is presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows that his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your success, your source for success at the highest levels, no doubt about it. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. Well, this week's Industry Star in this segment was designed to shine the spotlight on people that don't always get the recognition They work behind the scenes in thoroughbred racing. That's the case here this week. Saul Castellanos is the longtime barn foreman for trainer Mark Henning. He's been with him for a long time. Their relationship dates back to when the two of them worked together for Dwayne Lucas. Yeah, think about that. Well, Saul's been around this sport a long time. He's been working on the backside, and he is this week's Industry Star of the Week.
You and Mark Henning both worked for Wayne Lucas for a time. Mark ends up deciding to go on his own. How did that work for you? Did you stay with Wayne for a while? Did you go directly with Mark? What was that whole transition period like?
No, actually, I do go back to Mexico after work for Wayne for a little while, and then I come back to America and I start working for a trainer's name is Danny Pites for a little while. I worked for Danny Pites. Actually, that was a funny story between Danny and when I was working for Danny. I said, Danny, if I ever win the Kentucky Derby with you, it's funny, it sounds weird, but I say, I'll be so happy, I'll be running naked all over the racetrack, because that'll be like the biggest race for me and for him, actually, in that time. Yeah, but I was working for Danny Pice for a little while, and then actually I worked for Mr. McGahey for maybe 3 months, for Shook McGahey. I used to rub a horse for Shook McGahey to be approved. She won the Tropical Ox and Calder. I win that with that filly. And also, back to Danny Pites, I robbed Capote Bell, who was, she won the test in Saratoga in 87. Yeah, and I don't want to do this all my life, like robbing horses or be a hot walker. I want to do a little more than I want to prove myself I can do more than that and prove my family, my daddy, who was proud of me. And that, I was trying something else off the racetrack, but that wasn't me, you know. I love horses. I had to come back to the track. And I come back to Mario's already trained. And I come to Mario's barn and I ask him for a job, actually the assistant back then. And she hired me as a hot walker. And then I was hot walker for 2-3 weeks. And then the sheriff foreman go to Mexico for vacation. And Mar asked me if I can help him out and the sheriff a little bit to when the guy come back. So thanks to him, thanks God he never come back, so I keep the foreman job. And then after that, I'm an assistant.
Sitting here in Barn 12 backstretch at Gulfstream Park alongside Saul Castellanos. Saul, you had mentioned working for several trainers before eventually settling down here with Mark Henning. And you mentioned a few of the horses that you had been around either were in the shed row or personally that you would rub that you were the groom for, such as Capote Bell. What kind of relationship does the groom have with his horses? And you personally, you know, not just the ones that turn out to be stake winners, but, you know, how close are you with the horses you're taking care of on a daily basis?
Wow, really close. We see each other every day, every morning. It's the first thing the first person that this horse is seeing in the morning, that's the groom. Of course, it's part of your life, part of your family. You come in the morning, turn the light on, and the horse, first thing it sees is you. You know, this is a really good connection. The groom spends more time with the horse than anybody else. Yeah, the groom knows everything. The groom knows if the horse eat, if the horse was acting different than it was the day before, if the horse drinks a lot of water, if the horse don't sleep well, you can tell because the stall looks like they don't even move in the stall. The groom, he's really, and I'm glad you asked me this because the groom is really, really just a part of horse, really, really one of the biggest part of the racing industry.
People don't get to know the grooms. They don't get a lot of publicity, but they do a whole lot of the work. And it's not a Monday through Friday 40-hour week job.
No, definitely. 7 days a week and 24/7. 24/7 because I said being an assistant, if you have a problem, I hope never happens, but I mean, if you ever have a problem with a horse, yeah, I need help. The first one, the grooms are living next to the barn. So I was knocking everybody's doors, you know, like the grooms come out and help me out. Yeah, it should be a little more recognized. The people, like the grooms and the hot walkers. The hot walkers doing a great job, too. You know, they're part of that really important part of the horses, too. And, yeah, you say when those grooms taking the horses for the race, I don't want it to look as bad, and I hope nobody judge me for this, but, I mean, I don't feel good, too, with the assistant, including myself sometime, take the horse from the groom. The groom working 7 days a week with the horses, and for one day they want to show on over there in front of everybody. They want to look like they're the man. You know, I rub this horse. I'm take care of this horse. You know, yes. I don't think it's a good idea with somebody, assistant or foreman, take the horse from the groom. And a lot of time they do that.
My thanks to our Bobby Newman for that interview with Saul Castellanos, your industry star of the week. That segment presented by Stuart Morris. I can't love his comments at the end of that interview enough. I have said this for a long time. The groom works 7 days a week with a horse, brings them over for a race. And so many times you see an owner or an assistant trainer, and they have every right to do it. Take the horse, bring him into the winner's circle, lead them in. I love when trainers allow the groom and owners allow the groom to have that moment. They put so much, and you heard Saul talk about the relationship that a groom has with the horse. It is a special thing, and they put so much time and effort into it, and I am a huge believer that you need to let them have that moment. Have that moment when they bring... They're so proud. That horse looks so good when they bring him in. And they had such a big part. They did everything to get that horse ready. And they bring him into the paddock. Let them have their moment. Let them have their moment bringing that horse into the winner's circle. They work so hard. And that interview with Saul, so poignant. And my thanks to Saul for taking the time to talk with Bobby and for Bobby swinging by Gulfstream Park to catch up with Saul earlier this week. All right, second half of the show kicks off with Brad Cox, followed by Eric Hamelback, the National HBPA CEO, and trainer John Service toward the end of the program, plus our Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment presented by Spendthrift. That's all ahead right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One wheel. Looked impossible.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, on the potted board, on the outside, solo the manor, and here he is, the incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar!
And here it is, the 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, rolling on. Very busy morning, as always. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show or any of this show, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to a podcast at your leisure. It will be posted shortly after we finish up this morning at 10 o'clock Eastern. You can also do that via Apple Podcasts. My interview with Kent Barnes, the stallion manager at Shadwell, and Andy Biancone talking about last week's Sam F. Davis winner, Sol Volante, all part of a busy first half of the program. Again, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a podcast if you missed them. Also, the poll question for this morning, in honor of Valentine's Day, I want to know, we're going to have a little fun here, on which horse or horses do you have the biggest horse crush? On which horse or horses do you have the biggest horse crush? head over to our Twitter feed at HRN and cast your vote right now. Eric Hamelback, I told you he's coming up later in the program. He votes without question for 2000 Preakness hero Red Bullet. A vote for Zenyatta, no surprise there. And for Man of War, Ali Sheba and Wise Dan both getting a shout out. And I told you my two, Holy Bull and the Philly Excellent Meeting, were my two huge horse crushes. And I want to hear from you at HRRN on Twitter. I'll read the results later in the second half of the show. Trainer Brad Cox is with me now. He's probably had a lot of different horse crushes because he's had a lot of good horses come through his barn over the years. Brad, first of all, good morning, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Do you have a favorite racehorse?
that's a loaded question. I would say right now it's a three-way tie between I'm going to go with the three Eclipse winners, British Idiom, Covfefe, and Monomoy Girl.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
What a year for you. Look back on 2019 for just a second before we talk about what's coming up here in 2020, but you think about the year you had in 2019. What are some of the first thoughts that come to mind?
I think it's definitely the Breeders' Cup. Being able to go out west and pick up two Breeders' Cups were big, and it's probably definitely the highlight of the year for sure. And then just thinking back, like the test obviously was a big win, and the Joe Hirsch and the Alcibiades. I mean, anytime you're able to pick off a grade one, those are things that definitely stick out, and you don't forget about those. Those definitely stick with you.
Yeah, they certainly do. And since you brought up the name British Idiom, the champion two-year-old filly from 2019, let's start with her and talk about her return coming up later today in the grade two Rachel Alexandra. It'll be her three-year-old debut. And look, a perfect three for three in 2019. She couldn't have been more impressive in all three of her starts. Talk to me about what's been going on with her since we last saw her in the juvenile fillies.
Well, we brought her back to Churchill and just freshened her up in the barn. Started back training her in December, shipped her to the fairgrounds, and she responded extremely well. Very happy and very, very happy with her works and how consistent she has been week in and week out. Leading up to this Rachel and everything, I feel like is when, just as planned. We took the same path or similar path with Monomoy Girl, or starting a three-year-old year with Monomoy Girl 2 years ago, and I feel like this filly's just, doing every bit as well as Monomoy was back then and every bit as well as this filly was last fall leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And I do feel like she's grown and filled out a bit. And, obviously this is a solid group of fillies that a couple of them are in very good form. It's a solid race and going to be a big ask for her off the layoff, but she's doing very well.
And I would assume, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, she doesn't need to win this race today to prove anything to you or to move on the Kentucky Oaks trail, let's say. You just want to see a good run out of her today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Javier obviously knows the field extremely well. He was impressed with her first time out at Saratoga. And, like you said, I mean, for today, she doesn't have to win for it to be a good day for her. I mean, it's one of those things where we're just trying to get her to the Kentucky Oaks. And obviously we have today and hopefully another race between now and then. And, she'll earn the right to run to the Lilies and on the day before the Kentucky Derby.
Well, you have another pretty good three-year-old filly in your barn by the name of Taraz, who looked great winning the Martha Washington. She's looked great in all of her starts. Much like British Idiom, she's undefeated too. And there's talk that there might be roses in her future if she continues to progress.
Well, right now, we've talked it over with Garrett O'Rourke, Judmont. We spoke with Prince Khaled from Judmont. Obviously, we've decided at the, to point for a race against Phillies, the Honeybee, on March 7th. They're at Oakland again. So we felt like, to take a step forward first time around two turns last time, obviously put away two stake winners and did it the right way. And we feel like right now with just where she is, we'll stick with the fillies for the time being and looking forward to March 7th.
When did you first know that Taraz could be this type of filly?
She was pretty reminds me a lot of Covfefe. I mean, as far as just like was good from day one, honestly, and from the first time you breeze them, just fast and you know, can do really, you know, whatever you ask of them of the morning. So they give you a lot of confidence. But she, you know, she came off the farm. They liked her on the farm. And when she got to us, I think the first time we breezed, it was like, whoa. I mean, she's really fast and athletic. And that's probably that's the scariest thing I've always said about her. I mean, as big as she is, how athletic she is. Just the way she moves. I mean, she's very light on her feet and covers a ton of ground and obviously a fantastic workhorse and just does everything the right way and just super talented. She was pretty easy to pick out from the beginning.
Yeah, if she passes that next test in the Honeybee, would you have that conversation with the owners about potentially running in a race to get enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby, a race like the Arkansas Derby, for example?
Yeah, it would definitely be an option, you know, depending on her performance and how she did it. I mean, you know, we would circle around and have that conversation. But, you know, it's always one race at a time with these horses. And you know, it's something that, you know, just depending on how she won, the fashion she did it in, if she was able to get it done, you know, there's no givens in this game. She's got to, you know, get there first. And, you know, then we would have the discussion. But, you know, it's always, I mean, put it this way. I think a lot of this both started when I asked about nominating her to the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, early nominations are in January. So, you know, we did it. So that obviously means we think she is super talented. Now, whether she can run against the boys is, you know, that remains to be seen. But we'll, you know, find out what happens in the Honeybee and go from there.
All right, let's talk about the boys. You've got your hands full today. Several horses going postward at the fairgrounds in those stakes races, but let's focus and stick with the three-year-olds for a minute. Mr. Monomoy going in the first division of the Risen Star. That was a race that was split into two divisions. Race number 12, Mr. Monomoy, 6-1 on the morning line. Tell me about him.
Nice colt. Has gotten better every race. His figures are going the right way. They're going to need to go take another jump forward today, I think, in order to win, and I think it's definitely possible. I thought he drew well. I think he might be able to break and relax a little bit more than he did last time. He really fought on last time. You know, I thought he was one of the few horses that were up close to a solid pace, stayed on, did a lot of running that day. And, you know, I think with a good trip today, he's going to make a good account of himself. He's exactly what you like seeing out of a three-year-old this time of year. Every week he seems to be getting a little better. And just, you know, growing physically, he looks like he's just matured a lot since the LeCompte. So very excited about him, and I think with a good trip, he'll be effective today.
You know, Mike Trombetta joined me on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday night, and one of the things that Mike pointed out was that he views the road to the Kentucky Derby as one test after another, and they have to keep passing these tests in order to obviously – you know, get into the starting gate, sure, but in order to prove that they're worthy of being in the Kentucky Derby. How about you, Brad? How do you view this road to the Kentucky Derby?
Grinding, grueling. I mean, to say it's, and I mean, honestly, it is. It's very demanding for these horses. You know, obviously, you know, some of them, most of them are still at this time of year, still, you know, they're not even three. And it takes a very special horse to be able to take the training and the racing it takes to accumulate points just to get into the race. And, you know, since I've been training, I've seen two Triple Crown winners or since I've been alive as well. And, I mean, you know, to think what those horses had to go through or short period of time is really just – almost unheard of. I mean, it's crazy to think about it. Just with this day and age, with honestly lots of owners, trainers wanting 6 weeks, 7 weeks between races, and to think that, you know, with good horses, and obviously these are good horses, and to run the Triple Crown in a total of 5 weeks at the distances and the field size is just, it's unheard of. And, you know, if these horses can take that, and obviously what it takes in order to get to the first leg of the Triple Crown is, you know, nowadays it's almost unheard of, but it's extremely demanding and it takes a special horse without a doubt.
Yeah. And you're no stranger, Brad, to winning big races. You've won nearly 1300 races in your career so far, and things just continue to build. The momentum continues to build. With that all said, how do you make sure that you're training a good three-year-old the right way to make sure that when you do get, if you're fortunate enough to get to the Kentucky Derby or to any of the Triple Crown races, you have enough left in the tank to be at your peak when you get there. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to just watching your horse and just kind of, if you're leading up to these Derby preps, just how your horse is training, and, you got to be moving forward. It's just like Mr. Monomoy. I mean, obviously I feel like he's moved forward since the LeCompte leading up to the Risen Star, and you got to hope that continues week in and week out. Like you said, it's no different. Like when you have like a Monomoy girl, the campaign she put together in 2018, and, you watch them breeze, and if they continue to breeze well every week and train well and they're sound and happy, you're going into a race with a live shot or a loaded gun. And then obviously if you see something that's not right, that's when you obviously pull the plug and back up. But I think that's the biggest thing is with good horses, you just see that consistency week in and week out of just, whatever you're looking for in your works, they're able to accomplish that. And then obviously cool out fine, and the next day they look great. And then, you have the confidence to march forward to the next week or the next race.
Brad Cox, my special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brad, I know it's a busy morning for you. I know you're training now, so I won't keep you much longer, but you have two horses entered in the Southwest Stakes, 2 3-year-olds that will go in the Southwest on Monday at Oaklawn. You have Wells Bayou and Answer In. Just give me a quick little shot on each of those two.
Wells Bayou's doing extremely well. Ran a big race last time. This horse, he likes to draw the inside. I know that. He draws the inside of Keeneland. And, we thought we were doing the right thing and putting him in the mile race there at Churchill. But it was just a little bit too much too quick for him. Didn't hand it. It was muddy that day. We sent him out of there and just, got tired. Just wasn't quite ready for that level of competition or the one-turn mile I don't think was really his thing. But was eager to get him around two turns. We were able to do that. We're running him back a little quick, but he did have a very nice breeze last week. So I feel confident that he'll run well. I feel like his figures stack up and he should be effective. Answer In, I think he's a very nice gelding. Liked this horse since last summer. He broke really slow in his first start and basically run off at the jock 5/8 of a mile and still stayed on to narrowly be defeated that day. Honestly, I think it was a blessing in disguise and losing. Just mentally took a little while to get there. He's really coming around. Javier rode him last time. Really liked him and obviously wanted to ride him back. And we've been going for this race for a few months. So I really like this gelding. I think he's a nice horse. And hopefully with a good trip, Drew outside, I think with a good stalking trip, he'll run a big race on Monday.
He's trainer Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send him a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Brad, appreciate the time, my friend, and congrats on all the success and all the best moving forward.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, talk about being on a roll. He's got things going in the right direction for sure, and looking to add to that already extensive resume later today with some action at the fairgrounds, and then, of course, all that action at Oaklawn coming up with a big program there on Monday. Eric Hamelback is the CEO of the National HBPA. He's going to be with me next. John Service coming up at 9:40 Eastern. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Celebrate President's Day weekend, Friday through Monday, with the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Our 9th annual Winter Carnival is Saturday, February 15th. Enjoy a day filled with live thoroughbred racing, ice sculptures, an ice wall with prizes, family fun, and a winter hat giveaway to all program purchasers. The fun continues all weekend with fabulous racing through Monday and $2 hot dogs and $3 beer specials. Playing it safe on a favorite or taking a chance on a long shot. Odds are you'll have a great time. Post time, 12:25 p.m.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. He's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avies Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Phasic Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keeneland September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. And edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May, we're going to talk to John Service coming up at 9:40 Eastern as he gets set to send out his, well, we'll call it a Derby hopeful at this point. He may change that. I know there was talk that he may point not for the Kentucky Derby, but for the Preakness. If everything goes well in the Miraclewood at Laurel today with Dreams Untold, the son of his 2004 Kentucky Derby winner, Smarty Jones. But again, John Service coming up 9:40 Eastern time. And still to come, our Calling All Three-Year-Old segment with Bobby Newman, presented by Spendthrift. But now we turn our attention to the National HBPA Convention, which is going to be coming up March 24th to the 27th in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Eric Hamelback is the CEO of that organization. He is with me here on HRN. Eric the Tiger, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How are you, brother?
Doing really well. Are you still on cloud nine after your LSU Tigers won the national title?
I tell you what, I'm starting to let down a little bit, but what a great game. Two great teams. Just so happy for Coach O, you know, a Louisiana native and certainly a guy that's done things the right way, got his life in order and made the best of it, and now is literally on top of the world. So very proud of my alma mater. It's very, very proud day in the Hamelback household, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine so. It's a great story, as is the story of the work that you are doing with the National HBPA. I know you've been a busy man over the course of the past several years and making a lot of trips to Washington to do things on the legislative side. Now you're preparing for the annual conference. I mentioned March 24th to the 27th, but if people want to register, they have to do that by Monday, February 24th. So we don't want them to delay. They can go to hbpa.org to register. But tell me more about the conference and what folks can expect.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. And yeah, the deadline, the soft deadline is the 24th, and that really is revolving around the embassy where we are hosting, thankfully, at Hot Springs, Arkansas, a place I grew up on the backside of Oaklawn, Louisiana Downs, and still call those tracks home. So, yeah, get your registration in. But if you have any problems, please call me at the office. But, yeah, we are extremely, extremely excited about the conference this year and the agenda that I've been able to put together. I want to first just touch on Donna agreeing to be our keynote speaker. Donna Barton Brothers has become one of the best spokespeople for horsemen and the horse in racing, and her efforts on aftercare, on promotion of the industry, and just her touch with and being a true horseman, something that I've continued to try to make part of my mantra, you know, to have horsemen involved in the decisions within the industry, I think is imperative. And I know she sees that the same way. And of course, she happens to be married to Mr. Frank Brothers, who I, as a kid growing up in Louisiana, certainly worshiped. You know, just remembering his stable at Louisiana Downs when I was growing up, you know, having that connection is great as well.
Yeah, you couldn't have done any better. I'm a huge Donna Brothers fan, and yeah, she's just incredible. And to think
she
about
is.
The story she can tell and her experience on several sides of this business, you couldn't have done it any better, Eric, than coming up with her as a keynote speaker.
Thank you. And I got to give some credit, too, for helping me get this connection, Jenny Reese, and then also Michelle Fisher, helping me get to that conclusion and being able to connect with Donna. I truly appreciate that. But, you know, we've got a great lineup, Mike. I'm really excited about several of the panels that we put together. I think they're going to be informative. Just touching on a few of them briefly, but I want to give a shout out to Indiana equine attorney Pete Sarkopoulos, who tirelessly, as a horseman himself, has worked on behalf of horsemen in Indiana and throughout the country. But he's going to be giving a presentation on the situation that occurred in California with Jerry Hollendorfer, and basically why those decisions are important for horsemen across the country. I also am consistently trying to make the message for the handicapper and their importance in this industry. So once again, I'm joined with Michelle Fisher, who's going to be talking about the evolving wagering on racing, as of course we're constantly now in discussion on fixed odds and where's that going to go. But I'm also really happy to have Marshall Graham, Pat Cummings, and Dick Powell. They're going to be moderated by Steve Bick, and we're going to talk about the industry's wagering future. I mean, the reality is there are changes that need to be made. There are concerns with wagering that horsemen in particular need to address and the industry needs to address, as well as touching on things, again, like data, which I think you know particularly is a big deal for me. We need to make more data available for our handicappers and get it out there quickly. So. But yeah, all in all, I couldn't have, you know, again, I call it dumb luck when I'm putting these things together, but having a track superintendents panel this year, I think is very timely. And I chose to go a little bit different direction than some of the other panels. The University of Louisville put on an excellent panel moderated by my friend Jim Mulvihill. And I modeled a little bit after that, but took a little bit more of a hands-on approach, having actual superintendents there. Of course, is going to be, to me, very important. Javier Barras, Roy Smith from Indiana, and then Kevin Seymour right there at Oaklawn are going to be moderated by Randy Block. And that panel, everybody wants to talk about track safety, track surface. And for me, this panel, I really want to address the need for longevity and who's going to be taking care of these racetracks. We see it in every part of the industry, Mike, and you know, who's coming up behind us, right? Who's going to be the next big thing, whether it's a horse or it's a racing secretary. You know, somebody's got to mold these folks and get the knowledge that some of these guys have. and that's going to be a big focus for me. As always, we're going to end the day on Friday before we go to the races with our medication panel. One thing that I've continued to try through the National HBPA is striving for screening limits and uniform laboratories. That's something we're going to address. Once again, the ultra-sensitive testing that we have in our industry right now, we need to set screening limits. And as recently as the ARCI meeting just a few months ago, I once again advocated for an adoption of international screening limits that truly other countries have and we don't. And then one topic I want to just really throw out there because it's something different for us, but I'm really happy to have invited and they accepted Robson Forensic Investigations, Dr. Tim Potter and Dr. Vanessa Fitzanakis. They're going to be there to talk about something most horsemen don't really put a lot of thought to, and that's what are you doing to make sure you're covered in an investigative atmosphere when something happens, right? We all see mitigating circumstances. We understand the contaminants that are out there. Certainly my good friend Rusty Arnold, you know, they understand that these things can and will find their way into their horse's system. So what do you do about it? You know, what are the steps that we need to take to make sure, you know, the information is sought after and ultimately uncovered to have a defense? You know, and many times these things are incidental. That's why we call them incidental positives. So it's a different panel. I don't think I've ever had in any of the conferences I've been to, but I'm really happy to bring them in, introduce them. They're very prominent with the Equine Law Conference here in Kentucky, and really happy they accepted my invitation to join us at the panel.
Talking with Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HBPA. Again, that conference, their annual conference, coming up March 24th to the 27th at the Embassy Suites in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It begins with a cocktail reception on Tuesday evening, wraps up Friday with an afternoon of racing at historic Oaklawn Park. And don't forget the keynote address presented by NBC Sports' Donna Barton Brothers. You won't want to miss that. Registrations, as Eric said, have to be made by Monday, February 24th. That's because of the hotel and the rooms that they have reserved. So go to hbpa.org now to do that. And Eric, I'm glad you brought up the subject of the, you know, the false positives, or I don't know if you call them false positives, but the
right.
Trainers like a guy like Rusty Arnold or Graham Motion, who are squeaky yep. clean, you know, getting these positives because of the testing thresholds and all those types of things. That's something that needs to be addressed, and I'm glad you're going to do it at the conference.
Absolutely. You know, Graham has become a close friend through his situation here in Kentucky. We talk and text quite frequently, and, you know, he and I are on a mission to set up what we're calling a stewards advisory committee that ultimately can be my loose analogy is an instant replay booth, right? Something that commissions can draw to get advice from. And ultimately, I think when you have these findings, we call them incidental findings, I mean, they're in there, and there has to be some sort of recourse, and I think every horseman knows that. But when they're below a level that we're even told in the human world is not considered a positive, we have to start thinking with more common sense, and that's really the direction we're trying to go. And it'll continue to be my fight for uniformity with laboratories. We all need to be the same.
By the way, switching gears for just a minute, Eric, I read yeah. earlier on the program your reply to our poll question at HRN
yeah.
and your horse crush. You know mine is Holy Bull and Excellent
I
Meeting
do.
The Filly. Red Bullet for you. I thought that was a great answer.
Well, he is just got goosebumps when you said his name, Mike. Red Bullet for me, just to give you a little bit of history, was my first yearling crop at Adena Springs. So I was able to raise him and several other graded winners when I switched from Preston Wood Farm and was blessed to be offered a job with Frank, Red Bullet was a weanling, and I was able to raise him. And to this day, I see myself sitting on the floor with my just barely month-old son, Austin, who's 19 now, riding with Jerry Bailey on my knees in the floor as Red Bullet was destroying the field in Fusaichi Pegasus, and I was cheering every step of the way. But having been able to develop him and work with him throughout his career, and then ultimately back when he was a stallion, just one of the coolest horses I've ever been around, and I've had the pleasure of from Ghost Zapper to Awesome Again, Ginger Brew, Ginger Punch. I mean, the Macho Uno, you know, a Son of Holy Bull. So I've touched a lot of great horses and had a blessed career of being able to work and raise many Breeders' Cup horses, many Grade One winners, but Red Bullet is something special.
Yeah, that's a great story. Eric Hamill back here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eric, listen, appreciate the time here this morning. John's service is coming up next, but we'll remind people to go to hbpa.org to learn more about that annual conference March 24th to the 27th.
Mike, thank you. I just want to say real quickly, Saul and that interview relationship with the horse, that needs to be played over and over and over. These guys bust their butt every day, and I am so happy you had that piece.
Yeah, amen, brother. Thanks. Appreciate it. Eric Hamill back here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send him a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. I mentioned our poll question asking you, in honor of Valentine's Day, which horse or horses do you have the biggest horse crush on? And Eric, of course, Red Bullet, another vote coming in for Big Dollar Bill. Remember Dollar Bill? Yeah, there you go. It's a good one. How about the one and only Rachel Alexandra? And then an email coming in. Don't forget, you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. A few here. Percussionist, One of the Greats, Warm Spell, Urban Sea, and the late, great Easy Goer, a horse crush for that listener. So appreciate it. Keep them coming at HRN on Twitter, and then mike@horseracingradio.net. If you prefer to email the show, if you're not on Twitter, email me and let me know which horse or horses you've had the biggest horse crush on in your racing life. Going to get to another break. When I come back, John Service will join me to look back on Smarty Jones and to talk about his son of Smarty Jones running today in the Miracle Wood. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Gio Ponti, a three-time Eclipse Award winner.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his Grade One collection.
Champion older male.
The champion. Gio Ponti to take the Shadwell Turf Mile for Ramon Dominguez.
And two-time champion male turf horse with career earnings over $6 million.
Final 16th of the Shadwell Turf Mile, Gio Ponti, Wise Dan, charging after Get Stormy. Gio Ponti from the outside. How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle.
In 2019, Gio Ponti is the sire of 10 stakes horses and 7 stakes winners from 5.5 furlongs to 12 furlongs, including Grade 2 winner America's Tale, Grade 3 winner Gucci Factor, and stakes winners Long Runner, Dubini, Giovanna Blues, and Olympic Runner. In addition, Gio Ponti has produced champion sprinter and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong and $1 million Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Join us for a three-day weekend at Santa Anita as we'll have special President's Day racing on Monday. In addition to great racing, Monday is also Dollar Day with $1 beers, sodas, and $2 hot dogs. On Saturday, top fillies and mares go postward in the Grade 2 $200,000 Santa Monica at 7 furlongs. First post time on Saturday, Sunday, and President's Day Monday is at 12:30 Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Adina Springs bred, raced, and developed Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper into important stallions. Now comes Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, bred, raced, and backed by the strength of Adina. A Hall of Fame runner like his sire and grandsire, Shaman Ghost captured the classic Queen's Plate at 3 en route to his Sovereign Award Championship. At ages 4 and 5, Shaman Ghost made cross-country history as the only horse in the past 30 years to capture both the Woodward Stakes and Santa Anita Handicap.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
Shaman Ghost would go on to earn over $3.8 million with repeated success at the highest level. Additional graded wins include the Grade 2 Brooklyn Invitational, the Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special, before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome, went second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, standing at Adina Springs, Kentucky. Look for his fantastic first yearlings at the sales in 2020.
Hey, this is Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They head for home. Lionheart set down to a full-out drive. The outside, here comes Smarty Jones. Smarty Jones, Lionheart digs in gamely. Smarty Jones pushing on by. Smarty Jones is taking the lead. Lionheart tough as nails. Smarty Jones is going clear. The unbeaten colt, Smarty Jones, is drawing away to win the Derby. Smarty Jones and Stewie Elliott going on to win. Smarty Jones goes on to win the Kentucky Derby in that big bonus by 2.5. Lionheart ran second, and finishing third was Imperialism, then Limehouse.
Little trip down memory lane there. My late friend Luke Kreitbosch with the call of the 2004 running of the Kentucky Derby. Smarty Jones and John Service getting the victory that day for owners Someday Farm and the Chapmans, Patricia, her husband Roy. They are back reunited again this afternoon in the Miraclewood with Dreams Untold, a son of Smarty Jones. And John Service is going to join me in just a few minutes. But I thought that would be a great way to lead us into this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Two important stakes on the Derby Trail last weekend, starting with the Sam F. Davis at Tampa. Independence Hall was coming off back-to-back smashing wins at Aqueduct and was bet down to odds of 3-5. He sat just off a hot early pace and easily passed the leaders on the far turn, but couldn't fend off the big late run of Sole Volante. The Patrick Biancone trainee won by 2.5 lengths. He has a huge late kick and continues to improve and earned 10 valuable Derby points with the win. Santa Anita held the 7-furlong San Vicente last Sunday. Despite Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Storm the Court being in the field, the Bob Baffert-trained Nadal was the overwhelming 1-5 favorite. He took pressure the entire trip, but was still able to grind out the win. Expect him to try two turns in the Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn on March 14th for his next start. Three big stakes for the three-year-olds this weekend are actually four, starting with the Risen Star today at Fairgrounds. 23 three-year-olds were entered, so it was split into two divisions, each worth 85 Derby points, including 50 to the winners. Blackberry Wine, Digital, Enforceable, Silver State, and Scabbard are among the contenders in the first division, while Anno D'Or and Liam's Lucky Charm look like the main players in Division 2. Golden Gate Fields jumps into the fray with today's El Camino Real Derby. 17 Derby points on the line with 10 to the winner. Azul Coast was last seen finishing second to Barnmate Authentic in Santa Anita's Sham Stakes, and he should be tough to beat if he handles the poly track today. Monday is President's Day, and Oaklawn Park serves up the Southwest Stakes. Smarty Jones winner Gold Street and Remington Springboard Mile runner-up Answer In figure to be two of the heavies with plenty of challengers for the 17 Derby points. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mattoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 107 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one, Thousand Words remains undefeated to be announced regarding his next start. Number two, Dennis's Moment should show up February 29th in the Fountain of Youth. Number three is Authentic. We'll see him either in the San Felipe or the Rebel for his next race. Numbers four and five, the 2-1 finishers from the Sam F. Davis. Independence Hall, a little too close to a fast early pace. And Sole Volante, he should show up in the Tampa Bay Derby on March 7th. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders Farm.
Well, no doubt that Derby picture is going to change significantly over the course of the next 77 days, 8 hours, 5 minutes, and 53 seconds until the horses enter the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires. One trainer who is hoping to make an impact, if not in the Kentucky Derby, at least in the Middle Jewel, the Preakness Stakes, is trainer John Service, as he is back on the trail again with a son of his 2004 Kentucky Derby hero, Smarty Jones, and that is Dreams Untold, who goes to the post today in the Miraclewood at Laurel Park. And John is nice enough to spend a little time with me here this morning. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Derby dreams, they can come true. You know that better than anybody.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
You know, Dreams Untold, albeit not in the same boat as Smarty Jones at this point anyway, he was kind of Smarty Jones-esque in his most recent outing.
He was. He showed a lot of talent from the very beginning. You know, can be a little bit of a handful. He was actually, that's why he was gelded. And he's pretty crooked. You know, he doesn't have the best conformation. So that's one of the reasons Mrs. Chapman and I decided that he probably wouldn't handle the grind getting to the Derby, so we're just going to kind of pick spots with him, and if he continues to do well, maybe we'll make the Preakness.
So the Derby wouldn't be an option for him, at least at this point anyway?
Correct.
Talk about that relationship. Someday Farm, of course, you went down this road with Smarty Jones with them. Everything worked out beautifully. It's been a long-standing relationship, which in this business isn't always the norm, John. Tell me a little bit about that relationship and what it's like to be reunited with them again on a horse like this.
Well, you know, we have a special relationship, certainly because of Smarty Jones. But, I mean, with the circumstances, how everything took place with Bob K-Mac getting murdered and them asking me to take the horse and just the way it all worked out. Unfortunately, Mr. Chapman has passed away since then, but Pat Chapman and I have a great relationship, and it's not just business. I mean, we're very close and spend a lot of time conversing over the business and who the mares are going to be bred to and that kind of stuff. But it's been long term, and it's been a very good relationship.
Do you ever spend much time reminiscing on that 2004 Derby and the run that you had?
Oh yeah, if I have a little time during the day and nothing's going on, I might just plop down the couch and put YouTube on the TV and watch the race again.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How about when friends come over? Do you make sure it's running on a loop on the TV?
No, I don't do that.
How much Smarty Jones memorabilia do you have around the house?
Don't have a lot. I have a lot in the basement that's put away. I have some pictures going down the steps to the basement on both sides of actually Smarty's on one side and Catherine Sophia's on the other. So that's kind of cool. And then right in the middle of that is Jaywalk. So it's like, you know, it was like my three big horses. So.
You know, I asked Brad Cox this question earlier in the show, but our poll question that we've thrown out there at HRN on Twitter today was in honor of Valentine's Day, who is the horse that you've had the biggest horse crush on? And for me, it was Holy Bull and the Philly Excellent Meeting. So how about for you? If you had to pick a couple of horses or a few horses that would be your horse crush, who would they be?
Well, like most of America, I had a crush early on when I was younger on Ruffian, and because she was just so outstanding and just such a beautiful filly. I didn't get wrapped up in the Secretariat thing like everybody else did. I mean, obviously, I, you know, like, you know, watching him and stuff, but didn't fall in love. And then out of my barn, it would have to be those three that have gone through. And then I've had some horses that weren't anywhere near as accomplished as them that I just, you know, really cared for and took a liking to. And one of them is in today, that horse, Someday Jones. I mean, he's just a war horse, and he's so kind. He's got such a great mind on him. He's fun to be around.
Yeah, talk about him for just a minute, because you mentioned the war horse aspect. When you have a horse that just puts his best foot forward every single time you send him to the track, that has to be such a cool feeling for a trainer.
It really is, and he's one of those horses that, I mean, you know, you wouldn't even know he was there. I mean, he's so quiet, he's so laid back. You could put anybody on him in the morning to galloping. He just goes out there and, you know, he knows his job and goes out there and does what he needs to do. And he's battled through some injuries. You know, he's had a few years there where I think he only had two or three starts, and we end up having to give him some time. He's got a screw, actually two screws and one hock, and we had to do knee surgery on him. And, you know, he's 7 years old now. He's only run 25 times, but he's won almost half of his starts and made close to $600,000. And he's just, and this is the first year, I think, that we've really been able to go without having to stop on him, and it's starting to show, because he's really excelling and he's running better numbers now than he ever has.
Talking with trainer John Service here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, back to Dreams Untold for just a minute. What do you need to see from him in the Miracle Wood this afternoon to let you know that he can be Preakness caliber?
Well, I mean, he's going to have to win impressively, I think. You know, he's like I said, I was shocked he got beat the first time out. He's trained that good. But he had an inside post, and he ran a little green, and you know, he didn't get beat bad, but I was surprised in that field that he lost. And then he came back and ran really, really good. Much tougher field today. He's, like I say, he's trained good from day one. So, I mean, I want to see him run to the way he's trained.
You know, the race before the Miracle Wood, your son Tyler is going to saddle Sunday in, looking for a third consecutive victory with that horse. That's the Wide Country Stakes. How cool would that be to have the father-son duo pick up stakes wins on the same card?
That would be great, although, unfortunately, she scratched.
Oh, don't tell me that. Really?
Yeah, but you know what? We did do that already. We did that at Parks.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that.
He had a filly running in the stake the same day Someday Jones won, and we both won a stake that day, and actually my mom and dad were both there for it, so it was a really good day, good day.
That's special. Yeah, you can't beat that. Tell me a little bit about Tyler. Now that he's kind of getting things rolling on his own, he's doing very well. He's off to a good start with his training career. When he decided to do this and say, hey, Dad, I'm going to do this full time, this is going to be my job, what'd you tell him?
Well, you know, I had mentioned to him before that I thought he was ready. I mean, he's a very good horseman, and he didn't want to leave the nest. He's like, no, I'm not ready yet. And so when he came to me and said, you know what, I think I'm ready to take a shot, I was all for it. I said, listen, you've been ready, so you know, go for it and do your thing. And he was very fortunate, because I had a few clients that you know, I've trained for years, DJ Stable and Chuck Zackney and Mainline and Mrs. Chapman, that gave him a couple horses and helped him get started, and he's done very well for him.
How'd you know he was ready? What did you see in him that led you to believe that he'd be successful as a trainer on his own?
Well, like I said, he's a good horseman, and he's always been a good horseman. Ever since he was younger, both my boys, they just – you know, they'll tell you things that you can't teach. You know, you'll hear them say something, and I've said this to other people. I go, you know, you can't teach that. You either have it or you don't have it, just from experience, just from picking things up. And you know, watching him around the barn and the way he handles horses and suggestions that he made to me when we were working together, and you know, I could tell that he was really, you know. As a horseman, he was ready. If anything, he needed to polish up on the business end, you know, as far as keeping records and that kind of stuff. And so I put some more pressure on him working for me to do things like that. And he picked it up well, and he's been successful since then.
Has he beaten you in a race yet?
Excuse me?
Has he beaten you in a race yet with one of his horses?
he's beat me a few times. He actually beat me. I had a horse for mainline that ran the other day, was 3-5 in a maiden race. It was her second start. I finished third. Tyler won the race with a first-time starter, and it's a maiden special weight going long. And he won the race with a first-time starter, went wire to wire. So, you know, it's great. There's nobody else I'd rather get beat by, I can tell you that. I mean, it's just, you know, every trainer wants to win. But when you get beat by your kids, it certainly makes it a lot easier to take.
Yeah, that's great. Spoiler alert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to do my best to have Tyler join me on our trainer talk show presented by Fasic Tipton next Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. I'll reach out to Tyler and see if he's available next week. But, John, listen, appreciate the visit here today. You're always very gracious with your time. All the best with Dreams Untold today and with the entire stable. And go get it done and keep it rolling.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Anytime.
All right, John Service here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, he'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. I'll be back to wrap this one up right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Frickle win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last seven starts, including a 118 buyer as a three-year-old, the highest three-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mo Heyman, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3, a dazzling son of Tappan, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
The road to the Florida Derby continues at Gulfstream Park. Join us on Saturday, February 29th for the Fasic Tipton Fountain of Youth. Watch the top three-year-old thoroughbreds compete for their chance to become legends. Feel the heart-pounding action up close while viewing from the rail or enjoy within the comfort of our trackside restaurants, Ten Palms or Flamingo Room. Gulfstream provides the best in sports entertainment. Come early to receive a Gulfstream Park umbrella with the purchase of a program. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for more information. Gulfstream Park, thrills at every turn.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by a barren neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 and 4 fifths, recording a 114 buyer speed figure. Caraconti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf, Caraconti's first crop of three-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who is pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Caraconti gets the gold according to Chris McGrath's Value Podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainesway.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, inside the February 15th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet is a special Market Watch section with the 2019 Purse Review, North American Stakes Review, and the top 100 trainers of 2019. Other features include the Best of the Decade with the top five performances from 2010 to 2019, a rise and fall deaths from no cardio form placentitis, which sparks a wave of research efforts, and how the handling of Justify case has rallied performers supporting United States Anti-Doping Agency plan, and much, much more. Download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet today from the App Store or on Google Play. My thanks to all of our guests for helping to make this show possible this morning. If you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Kent Barnes from Shadwell, Andy Biancone, Saul Castellanos, our industry star of the week, Brad Cox, Eric Hamelback, and John Service. And to everybody who answered our poll question today, thank you for those. We have some votes for Kelso. The Big A chimes in with Songbird as his horse crush. Funny Side and Cattle Launch, a couple of wonderful Ohio-bred runners as well. Who else? Tonalist gets a vote. Told you Wise Dan getting a few votes in here, and Rachel Alexandra as well. So thanks to everybody for doing that and for helping to make this show a success here this morning. It's been a lot of fun. For my producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Lexington studios, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna, and hey, Big Ben, he's throwing. Well, tennis balls anyway. Yeah, go Steelers.